Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's 106. 106. What is that? Is that anything?
106. Gunofix. Gunofix is my new firearms repair service.
Oh yeah.
All app based. It's all on the app. We have no office. You just go open up your Gunofix app, and someone will come over to your place and will fix your Uzi.
I am gonna 106. Get some kicks. Where does that phrase come from? Get some kicks out of stuff.
Raya, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks. I don't know, maybe it's like those old dance moves that used to have a lot of kicking in them. So like you go out and have a dance and kick yourself a good time.
Maybe it's like in the old days people were more like 3-year olds, and when they had a good time they just kicked their legs out.
Well yeah, they got on their backs like a bug and just sort of just kicked you.
That's like some of those photos you see of like white guys in the 1930s reacting to jazz. And they're like clutching their head and like falling down, and they're just amazed at this saxophone sound.
It must have been incredible. If all you'd ever heard was Bach, and then someone started playing blue notes like da 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 da, and you go, what? You must have broken your brain.
Yeah, you've never heard live music. Or you've heard, like, your grandfather singing a song which is like, gotta get myself a brand new jug. Just something about jugs. It would have melted
songs
your head.
Songs are still all about jugs, of course. But a different kind of jugs.
That's right. It's about the jugs you don't blow air on the lid of.
Unless they want to. Unless they like it. Unless you've both agreed as adults. That is a good thing to do.
Have you got your vaccine yet, Phil? I haven't, and I'm livid.
No, I'm too goddamn fit and healthy. This my whole life, I've been out of breath going up the stairs, and yeah, I've got athlete's foot, and you know, I feel like I should be ahead of some people in the queue, but yeah. I don't think I'm ahead of anyone. I'm sort of physically inept enough to suffer generally in my life, but yeah, not physically impaired enough to skip ahead of the queue. I'm in the worst of all worlds, really.
Yeah, I think I don't respect athlete's foot. I'll say it.
Did you not hear the athlete part of it?
Yeah, that's the part that confuses me. But also, like, as a condition, it's just like, right, so you're going to kind of, you eat my foot skin? What are you? Do you spread? An athlete's foot is like, no.
Yeah, it's just sort of like a growth. It's like you've got a little garden down there, a little overgrowth. You got weeds on your foot, basically. The foot weeds.
Yeah. It's to me, it's in the same tedious category as like you have to cut your nails.
Right, but everyone has to cut their nails. Not everyone is athletic enough to have athlete's foot.
Well, that's true. But I just mean like in stuff that's not serious enough to be like dealt with in a way that feels necessary, but is still there and annoying.
Yeah. Like cutting your hair. Like, why does our hair keep growing? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Can a doctor please tell me what the benefit of a hair and our fingernails always growing is?
That's what I mean. It's a form of basic body admin that I find to be drudgery.
But if you lose a leg, tough luck, it's not going to grow back. Only the useless things grow back. Only the things that are a chore to maintain grow back. Things you actually need to grow back don't grow back.
Yeah, I don't have to go get my liver trimmed. Actually, your liver does grow back. We're going to have to give you a lung cut. Your lungs have overgrown. You're too breathy.
Horrible.
Yeah, that would not... That sounds... Yeah, it does sound gross. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that. That's not a good career path. Lung trimmer.
Speaking of illness, have you seen how the EU are now committed to shitting their pants every day?
With regards yes, to every single day they've decided that, you know, some guy called Horbjörn Spordeldon will stand up and say, "My uncle has a friend whose friend took the vaccine and died, so we're going to stop it now."
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like they watched Britain shit its pants every day for 4 years and thought, "Now we would like to try."
There's a law in the EU that negotiations have to be equal between partners, and so every time Britain shat their pants, the EU made a note of it.
We'll do this later. We'll do this all in 2021.
I mean, embarrassing, especially because, Phil, we are, you know, Remainers, Ramonas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rewingers.
Regloaters. Briefly.
Regloaters. The regloating only lasted for a month.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. That's what I'm annoyed so much more, most about, is that the EU are embarrassing me. It's...
Yes.
It feels like... And I imagine this is what it's like to watch your football team do really badly in an important match. It's like, come on, I bought the shirt. I bought all the tickets. I defend you online. And this is how you thank me.
I shit on my friends who disagree that you're good.
That's right.
That's true. Is this is you and me, like... clasping our hands together and looking at the EU flag and saying with wide eyes, "Is this football? Is this what football fans have every day?"
Yeah, it's really embarrassing.
It's amazing how someone whose job is to be a bureaucrat who understands numbers can still just not understand numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so just to bring people up to speed who maybe are not as, how you say, unsociable as us, the EU are like a few EU countries, including the Netherlands and like the famously sensible ones, the ones that we all go, "Oh, I wish I lived in Norway," but it's like Norway, Netherlands,
yeah, where else? Ireland.
I think Iceland, Ireland.
I think Ireland as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Ireland, they're saying no to the Oxford vaccine just to be sure, to be sure.
It's because one of them took it and started talking about the Queen, and they thought, this is a trick.
Yeah, but basically, a number of people who've had the Oxford vaccine have had blood clots. The same number of people who would have got a blood clot anyway from just being alive.
Well, that's what's amazing is there's a Finnish study that shows that it's actually even less people, fewer people than would have had blood clots in the general population. It's actually...
Really?
Yeah, it's not quite as many. It's almost as much as a normal amount.
It's truly incredible to watch the EU turn into your uncle on Facebook.
And I mean, to go like, "My 99-year-old grandmother ate a pancake, and the next day, dead."
A truck ran over her and flattened her into, you know what shape? Pancake. Coincidence?
And do you know what the truck was carrying? Is syrup.
I think she turned into part pancake, saw a syrup truck, wanted to be covered in it, and she ran into the road, overcome with her new pancake DNA.
I'm asking for $100 million from Bill Gates to keep the story to myself. But yeah, I mean,
but like, is it you going, because they've not been able to get, first they didn't have enough Oxford AstraZeneca vaccines, and yeah, now they don't want them. Is it the case that they went, well, we're not getting these anyway, we might as well score a few points?
Yeah,
we and may say, as well, oh, it's gross everyone anyway.
I didn't think you were that fit, you frigid.
Well, I mean, it's the Pfizer vaccine that has to be frigid.
Yes. To be fair, that is a very frigid vaccine.
The most frigid vaccine by far.
Do you think in the long run it would actually save money to write correlation is not causation on the moon? Just so that every night, every human on Earth had to look up and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, with every chapter of Thinking Fast and Slow, I feel that much smarter than everyone else on Earth. And it goes, you number-ignoring fools, you barbarians with your feelings and your hunches.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it must be what it's like to support a suddenly shit or selectively shit football team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hopefully it'll dispel this myth of the perfectly run Scandinavian countries.
Yes, yeah, which is never, like, the myth only exists outside of Scandinavia.
Yeah, yeah. They're sort of like Europe's New Zealand.
Yes, yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, that'll be the day when Jacinda Ardern comes out as QAnon. She's been really sensible this whole time, and then she comes out and goes, at least we don't have a secret network of pedophiles like in the United States. And everyone goes, sorry, what? Sorry, what?
Could everyone be calm? I'm just waiting for the next message from Q to know what to do next.
I've been following his advice the entire time. That would be the most terrifying, as if she was a QAnon follower, but then she'd interpreted all the advice really sensibly.
Yeah, that's funny. That'd be strange.
Her natural sensibleness had just filtered into the conspiracy in her own head.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Have your Yes, yeah. Have your parents got the vaccine yet? My parents have both got their letters. My dad's getting it very soon. Today, I think, letters. In fact. And my mom is getting it in a week.
Yeah, it's like... it's kind of like an exciting jury duty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would you call it? Nothing needle-related sounds like jury.
Jabby duty.
That's a
jabby duty. Injury. Injury.
It's not really an injury.
Mm.
I mean, technically, a Filipino lady is going to stab you, but
yes,
in the best possible controlled manner. My mother has had both of hers.
Oh, great!
Because she is a doctor, NHS. My father's in Malaysia. I think he might get his in a month or a bit, but we don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm just looking forward to meeting Bill Gates.
Yeah, in your dreams.
In my dreams, or both of my parents will just turn into Bill Gates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just grow his glasses, and his sort of like calm, confident nerdiness.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That's the final way he's going to really defeat Steve Jobs, is that Steve Jobs will have passed away and Bill Gates will be everyone.
It was a real mark of maturity to realize that between the two, it's actually Bill Gates that's the good one. For ages, you think, oh, it's Steve Jobs who's the good one. He makes the Macs. You know, he was like the underdog for ages, and then they broke through to become the biggest company on Earth. and then he died, and you go, oh, no. And that's sad or whatever. But it's only later on you realize, oh, it's actually Bill Gates who's like eradicated polio or whatever. And I mean, without him, like, where would we be at right now with the vaccines? We'd be far behind. We'd be way far behind.
Yeah, vaccines and polio and measles and malaria. Yeah, Steve Jobs was like the overly generous stepdad.
But Windows ME was that shit that everyone's gone, he must be an idiot. He must be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Have you seen Outlook? He must be an asshole.
Yeah.
What's access even for? Why do we all have access?
Yeah, everyone's gone, God, Bill Gates' dad, you're so lame. Not like cool stepdad Steve Jobs. He buys me trucks.
Yeah. He bought me a phone with a camera in it.
What can your phone do?
Yeah.
Paul and William Gates. Steve Jobs was a former hippie, which, as we all know, should have made him untrustworthy from the start.
Yeah, this was in a time when I thought that hippie, you know, if you're a hippie, it was like, you're all into peace, man. But you're not. Yeah, it's just selfishness and long hair. That's all hippiedom is.
It is a lot of fun to... Huh?
Yeah, go on.
No, as I said, it's a lot of fun to you, me, and fellow comedians and friends, Finn Taylor, Sean McLaughlin, used to do this to adopt deliberately anti-hippie rhetoric from the sort of 70s, like Nixon stuff, to just be like, goddamn long hairs?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you told me when I was like 16 that most of my adulthood would be spent hating hippies, I wouldn't have believed you. But I should have. But I was just thinking, Bill Gates. Basically, I don't know if you've discussed this before. Elon Musk keeps getting named the richest person in the world, and I don't know why. I've seen like 15 Teslas in my life. Like, how is he richer than Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos?
Somehow. Somehow Elon Musk has gone up to the finance world, and he's gone. And I'm never entirely sure what he sounds like, because he's originally South African, but he's lived in America for ages. So I'll just do a weird South African accent. He's gone up to the world of finance, and he's gone, I'm the richest man in the world. And they've all gone, no, you're not. You only sell 16 cars a year. And then he's gone, no, but imagine if I sold all the cars. And everyone's gone, right. Oh my God. He's right. If he sold all the cars, oh my God. And then it's the stock price has gone bow up.
Does that get counted in your wealth, the value of your company? Or is it just the value of his Tesla stocks?
And it's all of it. It's all of it. It's net worth. It's everything.
Right. Okay. So basically, whenever people start jerking off over Tesla again, he becomes the richest man on earth.
Yes, yeah. And because there is a stock and it is traded, there are dividends from the stock. So as much as everyone's like, oh, none of his money exists, and it's like, yeah, but his shareholders paid him in cash a $20 billion, you know, bonus or salary for doing well and tweeting a lot or whatever. So he does have that many billions, and then the rest are, you know, theoretical or in valuation. But yeah, he just seems to have convinced everyone that, like, he's the equivalent of the Henry Ford Company in 1901 or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's the first meme billionaire.
He's the his understanding of internet culture is always a good... The most up-to-date is he's about 2 years behind, sometimes up to 10.
Yeah.
He's never more than a few minutes away from tweeting that something is epic bacon.
Yeah, he's like an embarrassing dad trying to be cool with the kids, but because he's got space rockets, people let it slide.
I understand why people think he's cool, though, because he has tricked the world of finance in some way, and also he just went on Joe Rogan and smoked a load of weed and then just went, haha, Tesla stock should be worth 420, ha ha ha, and it worked.
Well, yeah. Is that when he had to step down as chairman? Chairman? Or down from the board or something?
Basically, I don't know. I think they...
He keeps altering the price, the stock price of his own company.
He got investigated. I think he only temporarily had to step down while he was investigated by like the Financial Conduct Authority or whatever it's called in the States. And then they technically couldn't find anything wrong with it. And then he was like, haha, suck my dick, 420, haha, hashtag. And the stock just kept going up. He's probably the kind of guy where I imagine if I went to his mansion in the sort of hallway of his mansion, he's got like an enormous framed oil painting of like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, nice. And Elon Musk have in his house?
Yeah.
I reckon he has an NFT of Two Girls, One Cup. Do you know about these NFTs?
Yes, yeah. You can own a meme forever, in theory.
Non-fungible tokens. Making, like, own pieces of the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's mad. He's got an NFT of Two Girls, One Cup. That's perfect. I reckon he's got a t-shirt where it's E.T. But he's instead of raising his finger to be like helpful, he's giving the finger.
Nice. Yeah.
And the tip is still glowing.
But I wonder if I'm gonna put on for auction the NFT for all of my Facebook posts while I was at university, which were all just about me playing pool with my friend Chris and who won pool that day, and like whether anyone in college has a Pritt stick I can borrow. How much do you think I can get for that?
I think that as long as you just can capture some of Elon Musk's incredible charisma and ability to convince people, you could get, £10 billion.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
But you've got to work on your ability to just say, but imagine if it was the most valuable art in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's all made up. Did you see this? Sorry to keep going on about NFTs, but this guy, this like digital artist who's just sold, he just sold something for $63 million.
Yeah, he was some sort of artist before.
Picture. Yeah, he's like an Instagram sort of artist, and he just did a digital picture every day for 5 years or something, and he put them all together into a single collage. And Christie's, the auction house, put it up for auction, their first ever purely digital sale. And there's this video of him watching the auction at home with his family. And they're just screaming because the price, it starts out like $100, and a couple hours later, it's up at 30 million, 40 million.
Oh, wait, hang on, though. Has he been paid the money? Because sometimes you see that on eBay, people bidding like £10 million on a toenail for a joke or whatever.
Has he been given the money? Well, I mean, like, it's a proper auction house.
I suppose so.
There's like, it'll be $9 million of fees or whatever going to Christie's, and then the rest, I'm guessing, goes to him.
I mean, in reality, the same level of nonsense and fraud applies to the actual physical art world.
Oh yeah, and I'm by no means saying this is particularly fraudulent, but but what's amazing about it is that you're not getting anything physical. All you can do is you can say that you have the digital rights to a picture that anyone can screen grab.
Well, I guess there was a guy on the radio who had a kind of Professor Frink voice, so I could tell he was a nerd.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, you know, you can buy a poster or you can take a photograph of the Mona Lisa. It doesn't change the fact that you own it.
That's true, that's true.
Which is like, it's true, but it's also the same as saying, don't worry, this is as mentally ill as trying to buy the Mona Lisa.
But there's a difference, obviously. I mean, there is a distinct physical difference between a poster and the actual painted Mona Lisa, whereas there's no real physical difference between the two digital pictures of the same thing.
I suppose so. I mean, it's probably just going to devolve into just another way to launder money.
Yeah, I mean, it's all Bitcoin technology, and Bitcoin is shady as shit, and also just so energy, just so energy intensive.
Yeah, what is
it? So bad for the environment.
Bitcoin now uses more energy than New Zealand.
Yeah. Jacinda can catch up.
I mean, full credit to the world of finance and the internet finding a way, like, as global warming gets worse and worse and things are actually just getting digital, so we don't need to worry about mining gold and lithium and whatever as much, and platinum is finding a way to still completely fuck everything up
and call it mining. It's still, that's how much man's got a mine. A man needs a mine.
Do you think the inventor of Bitcoin was looking out at an illegal gold mining field in Sierra Leone, and he saw the sort of devastation and people pouring boric acid into rivers and trees being burned and smoke and chemicals, and then he saw the UN come in and shut it down, and he just shook his head and went, "We can't lose this."
This is who we are.
This is the most beautiful thing, and I refuse to live in a world where somebody can't say, "I'm sorry, the trees are dead because of mining."
I will invent a mine in the sky. Sky mine. I will call it...
I'll keep the secrets to its invention in my mind mine. Everything's just a mine for him.
Everything in terms of a mine. Yeah. But I mean, I thought my viral Tom Hiddleston video.
Yes.
I was like, I wonder, you know, I could put that up for auction. I wonder how much that would get. Probably like
Do it.
£20. But like then I'm contributing to this terrible environmental disaster.
I suppose. But you know, we also have iPhones.
Yeah, but that just comes at a human cost. And humans are endlessly replaceable, whereas we only have one planet.
There's an environmental cost.
Sorry?
There's an environmental cost to iPhones, or the cobalt.
Yeah, but I think it's more proportionate than selling something imaginary online.
Something that,
at least I have a physical phone that helps me do things every day.
Yeah, I suppose something imaginary that if it does exist, it only exists in terms of loads and loads of carbon in the atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember particularly, switched on friend of mine telling me about Bitcoin when I was in like high school.
Really?
Yeah, like really early on.
So that's like late noughties, mid-noughties.
2009.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It would have been 2009, and I remember, God, imagine if I'd just bought like 10 for like 50p or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know someone, they were just texting me the other day, who's they're talking to me about NFTs, and she she bought 10 Bitcoin in 2010. Or 2014 even. 2014 she bought 10 Bitcoin. And she lost the code. She lost the password.
No, I was just going to say she one of these people that like is lost the thing. No, Phil.
It's amazing. Like, I think it's like a fifth. I think a fifth of all Bitcoin are lost. A fifth of all Bitcoin are inaccessible.
It's some kind of fucking ridiculous pirate treasure economy.
Yeah, and they're just gone forever now. And there's only a finite number of Bitcoin. So those are just gone forever. They're completely wasted. It's a stupid idea. It's a stupid idea.
I just
and people like, must just stop it. Stop it.
Did you see that
story? I'm doing the Leave Britney video alone, but about centralized banks. Leave centralized financial authorities alone.
Leave the Fed alone. I just, do you see that story of the Welsh guy who had like 150 yeah. Bitcoin on a memory stick and he's lost it in a landfill?
Just photos of him in a tip in Wales, just stood on a mountain of rubbish, just his head in his hands. I cannot imagine. Ugh.
I mean,
every day he wakes up to that. Every day.
Every day he wakes up and thinks to himself, he could check the stock market and go, "Oh, that's another £1.5 million overnight I have made."
Oh my god!
He's like a character from a fable.
Yeah, he's like something from a Greek tragedy or an episode of The Twilight Zone.
It's like saying to someone that the money's going to keep growing in a bank account, and you can check your balance, but you can never withdraw anything.
It's like something on a Black Mirror, Pierre. I know no one said this for a while, but I'm bringing it back. It's like something out of Black Mirror.
This COVID thing is like something out of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I think I tweeted once, that's my favorite thing to do whilst watching Black Mirror, is say out loud, "Oh, this is like something out of Black Mirror."
I wonder if Black Mirror is going to have to fucking up its game after the year we've had.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't, the last year's horror wasn't technologically, well, I guess they'll have to up the game in that technology was our savior and our captor was good old fashioned nature.
Yeah.
In the form of a little Wrigley Coroni.
Well, that's it. It was the old Coroni, and also like there's it's now that they did something like imagine an entirely digital auction for something that doesn't even exist. It's like, no, we did that.
Yeah.
We did that. We live in a dystopia. You're going to have to try harder to live in a dystopia in fiction, because we've already done everything that makes something a fucked up dystopia. We've done it now.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of why Black Mirror sort of lost its way a little, when one was just like, imagine if fucking Miley Cyrus was sad. That was one episode. Imagine if Miley Cyrus was sad.
I did see some amazing tweet from an American saying that like every episode of Black Mirror is just like a stoned British guy breathing out a load of weed and going, "Imagine if your mum was batteries." But I mean, that's Charlie Brooker is an inspiring figure for that reason, because he used to just smoke weed and live on his friend's couch and make fun of TV shows, and now,
yeah. He's the world's most powerful. He's the world's richest man. Right after Elon Musk.
Yes. If he was only better at memes, he would be up there.
Yeah, I mean, like he lived the Charlie Brooker lived the stoner dream. He watched TV. He reviewed video games for a magazine. And he was mean about TV shows. He was mean enough about TV shows until they all went, "Fine, you write one." And he did, and everyone loved it.
And then he's married and had kids with a hot lady from TV shows that he used to watch.
Yeah, man. I think we're all going to wake up one day and realize we were all in Charlie Brooker's wet dream. We all got matrixed into his dream.
That's right. And that Charlie Brooker himself is like something out of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That's how he could write such a good mindfuck show. His whole life is a mindfuck.
Of course, of course. I've been enjoying our Twitter straw poll of favorite Bud Pod moments.
Yes, yeah. Well, so I had an ulterior motive in asking because I'm tempted to bother to fill in all the forms and do all the editing to send us in for the British Podcast Awards, Phil.
Oh, wow. Really?
But they don't half want a lot of clips and filling in forms. Good Lord.
Forms, even podcasting. The which was supposed to democratize the world of audio that it's full of it's full of bureaucracy.
Yes, when will pod exit?
Yes, that's right.
Happen.
Cut all this red tape. Yeah, well, that's exciting. I mean, from my cursory glance of the replies, unsurprisingly, Raw Chicken Fight Club seems to be the fan favorite, the people's hero.
Raw Chicken Fight Club is going to be something that, like, I think it's going to be the last thing I say on my deathbed. It's going to be like Rosebud. I'm going to drop an MP3 player from my hand in slow motion. I'm going to say, Raw Chicken Fight Club. And my family are going to be like, what the fuck did he say?
Raw Chicken Fight Club. Yeah.
Because we got sent that by someone who's a friend of the teacher who did the discovery. And if I ever meet the teacher, it's going to be like... When you read about, you know, someone in like the war who finally meets the person who wrote them all those letters, you know.
Yeah, it's like when they finally find Private Ryan and they're like, it's you?
And they're all confused. What do you mean? It's like, you've done more than you could ever know, sir. Come with us.
So Raw Chicken Fight Club is definitely... How many bits do we need to submit?
You just between 1 and 5. I mean, some people would have just said their favorite bits, and it has to be from the last year or so. But some people just said their favorite bits anyway, which is still a lot of fun. I still really enjoyed reading them. So much stuff that I'd forgotten about. We're good at podcasting, Phil. We're good at this.
Yeah, yeah. Mechatine. Mechatine.
Yeah, just yelling by the power of 1,000 wanks over and over again. Batman smelling of cum, I do always laugh at that.
I don't, maybe because I value Batman too much. I think it's disrespectful, but...
I laugh at your impression of Commissioner Gordon saying he smells of zinc.
Oh, smells of zinc.
Oh. Not to turn this into a clip show, listeners, but thanks for sending that in. It was a straw poll on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, then do reply to it with you. It was basically the question was anything that you like would deliberately go back and listen to again or made you cry laughing. And so it's very interesting as well to see how many answers, you know, are the same. So Raw Chicken Fight Club, and how many are just like very specific to individuals. It's always interesting.
Yeah. Some people just like... Just a single turn of phrase for 1 second, one episode at some point.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. One guy's favorite was Dawn of Agriculture, Rodney Dangerfield.
Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. You won't see that on the BBC.
You won't. And it's a disgrace. It's disgusting, as someone in the Question Time audience might say. Frankly, disgusting.
It's disgusting. Actually, to be fair, the little kid whispering disgusting, that's high up there.
Oh, of course. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Would you ever go on Question Time, Pierre?
Here's the only reason to go on. If you went on and caused a big old ruckus, it would immediately compel one other show to have you on for some reason.
Yeah.
So maybe that would start some kind of snowball effect TV career. But there are so many downsides, and it's such an awful show that I don't know if it's worth the risk of accidentally pooping your pants.
I don't want to contribute the cult to a culture that says that people's thoughts and opinions matter. I don't want to contribute to that culture. Where
it's toxic.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. And I don't want to go on a TV show that says otherwise.
Yes, I want to go. I want to go on a TV show called No Comment.
That's funny. Just someone asking you questions for an hour, and you just say no comment, everyone.
Yeah. Or just a TV show called No Time for Questions, and it's everyone just gets to say what they came there to say, and the audience sit there with their hands in the air, and at the end, David Dimbleby just says, "Oh, sorry, we don't have any time for questions," and it ends. That's the dream.
Do you think it's funny that Fiona Bruce presents Question Time and Antiques Roadshow? I guess actually a lot of Question Time audiences are indistinguishable from antiques.
Yes, and some of the views of the guests on Question Time are sort of niche, strange things from the past that are worth examining.
Yeah, it's like something a shotgun from the 18th century might think.
Also, she's used to just telling really hopeful people, like, "I'm terribly sorry, but what you've brought me today is a piece of shit. It's a useless plastic bowl." But in this case, the useless plastic bowl is your thoughts. Your opinion on global trade is like a cheap ceramic imitation of a Chinese vase.
I remember so vividly, I think it was in the run-up to Brexit, it was the first time I thought maybe this vote actually won't go the way I wanted to or the way I expected to. And I guess it wasn't Question Time. Well, maybe it was this Question Time special, which was a debate between David Cameron, who was on the side of Remain, and God, who was on the other side? It wasn't Boris, was it?
It could have been Gove.
Yeah, maybe it was. And I just remember there was a Brexiteer in the audience who said to David Cameron, our share of world trade used to be like 20%. Now it's 18%. And David Cameron was like, "Oh yeah, well, that's because the economies of China and India have grown a lot since then. And so they've taken up a large proportion of the world trade. We haven't lost trade. It's just other people have got more." And this guy just went, "But we used to be at 20, now we're at 18. And David Cameron was like, "Right, yeah, no, it's not. We're not trading less. It's just that other people are trading. It's just how proportion." He just wanted to say, "This is how percentages work." And the guy just kept going, "We used to be at 20, now we're 18. And at that point, I was like, "Oh shit, maybe this won't work because people don't understand fractions."
People don't understand fractions or numbers. And also, the guy who's saying that, who's really into the fact that it used to be 20 and now it's 18, he just runs a shop.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a global tin exporter.
Yeah. His the amount of toothbrushes he can sell is not going to change.
It's not like a, and we'd like to thank the international CEO and founder of Maersk Shipping for that question. That's why it was always a mistake, because it was getting really complicated, boring stuff, and saying, "Yeah, but what does Dave reckon? What does that guy we know reckon? Let's just let him take over the plane for a bit and just jiggle the handle, see what he reckons about the way things are flying."
Yeah, I guess that's fundamentally flawed with how have I forgotten the word for a big vote?
Referendum.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I need to go on a run or something. That's the problem with the referendum, is that it's just a big vote on what you reckon.
Yeah.
Go on, everyone. We'll change everything depending on what you reckon.
Yeah. Let's just have a wild emotions-based stab in the dark.
But once more, you know, the EU have really let us down here, because... I mean, it still is the case. Like, I've always had to say this to myself. No matter how well, even if Brexit is the best thing in the world ever, it was still a mistake because you have the, you know, this principle of you had no right to expect this outcome.
Yes. Yeah, you don't the ends don't justify the means if the means were insane and risked everything for disproportionately.
Yeah, if you put all your money on a bet that you would 99% lose, even if you win and become a billionaire, it was still a stupid bet.
Yeah, you don't get to claim that you planned to buy a winning lottery ticket. You don't get to claim that.
This is some top drawer remoaning we're doing now.
It is, and the real casualty of the EU's vaccine fuck ups is the easy analogies. We've really lost those now.
It really is, because the world will not stop adding complexity to situations.
And I'm so sick of ambiguity, Phil.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
Nothing more disgusting than ambiguity. But it's also like as you say, that's the annoying thing about coronavirus as well, is that it's going to be used to disguise the already tremendous hit to the economy.
And the vaccine EU fuck up couldn't have happened. It's almost like it was timed to happen, like the week after Brexit happened.
Yeah, it's literally the second everyone was going, wait, a tariff is money that costs us money? And the second people were getting their heads around that, everyone just went, vaccine fuck up. the irony being that the kind of like most pro Brexit nutters online tend to be kind of anti-vax, we hate red tape, never force me to do anything, libertarians.
Yeah, so now they've got a real difficult choice to make, haven't they?
Yeah, they're essentially going, ha ha, the EU isn't as good at the secret Illuminati vaccine as we are, which is bad. Our centralized state Stalinist efficiency is way better and bad than the EU's bad one, which is bad and bad.
Do you know that if we had still been in the EU, we would have had to joined in on their procurement plan? Would that have been compulsory? I don't think it was it?
I don't know. I think there was an element of it that was compulsory, because I know that some German states tried to do it on their own, and then Angela Merkel sent an apology to the commissioner saying, sorry, no, don't worry, we're not going to do anything on our own. We'll just sit still.
Spangler Merbels?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Spangler Merbel said, sorry.
You know who you're talking about for a second there.
Sorry, yeah. Spangler Merbels said sorry for trying to do it on our own. I don't know, because... like with so many EU rules, they are what you make them. And part of the problem that Germany and France and all these other countries have had is that culturally they've decided to treat them as incredibly serious. But I think we kind of would have been screwed. Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't have been as good as it is now. There's no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gone from the sick man of Europe to the pricked man of Europe.
Ooh, very good.
Thank you.
Da 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 da. Whatever the Have I Got News for You theme is.
Da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da. I think that's true, yeah. The vacuum thing wouldn't be going as well as it is now. And as we said in another episode, if the price of that is making a multimillionaire out of Matt Hancock's only friend, well, then that's the price.
The number 10 has a new briefing room now. That's how regularly the Prime Minister has to address a calamity and disaster, is that number 10 have had to build a special room for it.
They were in the old room and they're like, we've really briefed this thing out. This thing has been briefed to the gills. We need a fresh room for this.
Yeah, meh.
Well, if listeners, if you want to take part in the Bud Pod attempt to win a not a pointless award, but it's all awards to an extent are just made up, but we'll give it a go. Then do reply. To the tweet, and I'll see if I can slowly be bothered to fill in a series of forms saying genre, poop, number of downloads, poop, 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 poop.
I hope you're entering us into the best scripted podcast category.
Best scripted drama, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Wait, is this the Sony one, this award?
That's just the British Podcast Awards.
British Podcast Awards, okay.
They sound official because they clearly were the first ones to nab that domain.
Are we going to lose our cult status, though?
You know, maybe, but we hopefully we'll go from cult status to Elon Musk level. There'll be none of that boring in-between stuff.
Yes, let's get BudPod overvalued.
Let's float BudPod. It's a
floater.
Is
that what floating means?
Float on the stock market, yeah.
It means overvalue something.
No. It just means to put it on the stock market to be traded. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But let's we'll see. And just send those in to us. And other than that, I guess enjoy the new briefing room, listeners, for the next week.
Yeah, enjoy that briefing room. You earned that. We all did. The good
you
earned
that with your hunger for briefings.
Yeah.
But yes, other than that, hope you get the vaccine, guys, and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week. I love you all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.